Tonight is part four in this series entitled Identifying and Conquering a Jezebel Spirit. Very briefly, we looked in Revelation about what God had to say concerning a Jezebel spirit. And there was a specific reason why that He used that term in Revelation when He was warning the churches. He could have used any kind of reference to any particular type of devil, but He chose a Jezebel spirit. Then He explained why. We took a look at some of those characteristics there in Revelation. But the fact that God used the term Jezebel indicates to us there's something about the original Jezebel that we need to look at and to learn from. Because if God makes that statement about her and says that that kind of spirit is still at work today, we need to be able to identify it. Folks, what you need to understand is that this whole thing with the Jezebel spirit, anybody who's operating by one will not admit to it. And that's just the way it is. And I shared with you how that when you're dealing with a Jezebel spirit, it's one of the most difficult there is to deal with. It's one of the most deceptive, and one of the reasons for that is because a Jezebel spirit appeals to what I'll just say is basic human nature. Now, when I say basic human nature, I'm making reference to fallen nature. Now, I know that when we get born again, we do not have a fallen nature anymore. Now, granted, the bodies haven't been glorified yet, but we're born again. So we don't have a fallen nature. And yet Paul, just in his writings in the New Testament, identifies the fact that there's a mindset that has to be changed in a believer. And we took a look at that a little bit in the other series this morning, Romans chapter 12, where it says, you know, present your body as a living sacrifice and then be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Well, your spirit's already been born again, but now it's a matter of your thinking changing. And one of the things, and in fact, you can go back to Genesis and you can see examples of a wrong way of thinking when it comes to Abraham, Adam, and Eve. Because both of them were created with the life of God on the inside. Both of them. They didn't have a sin nature till after they rebelled and sinned. So that reveals to us that we do have the ability, even as Christians, to think in a direction that we shouldn't. That's what they did, and that's how we ended up in this mess. But praise God, through Jesus, we don't have to keep living messed up. You understand what I mean? So anyway, this thing with Jezebel. Go ahead and open up to 1 Kings. Because in 1 Kings chapter 18, in 1 Kings is where we see this revelation of Jezebel. We begin to see some things about her. And I shared with you that what we were going to do is kind of walk through this story of Jezebel in 1 Kings and through here in the Old Testament to find out what it is that God wants us to see. Because this Jezebel spirit has destroyed churches. I mean, split them right down the middle and just absolutely devastated the lives of many believers. And I've already shared with you a little bit about how that typically a Jezebel spirit seems to be able to work through women more than men. Now, you know, again, I think it was the last part in this series dealt with the fact that a Jezebel spirit can operate through a man or a woman. But it just seems like women more than men. Now, that's not, again, this is not an anti-woman series, but I think all of us in here, well, if you've been in church long enough, you've seen it. Bottom line, you've seen it. And I identified the fact I think the last part, how that oftentimes the Jezebel spirit will target the pastor's wife and work on the pastor's wife to try to get her to usurp authority over the pastor. And again, I've seen those things. You've probably heard stories. But again, right along with that, it can be a guy. You know, I know of a particular situation in one church where there was a fellow in that church, and he was definitely called to minister. Now, he wasn't the pastor, and I don't believe he had a particular title in the church, but the guy definitely had a pulpit ministry. There's no question about that. Well, he let his guard down. And just to kind of give you a clue, one of the ways that a Jezebel spirit can gain access to a person's life. And I'm not talking about demon possession. I mean, yeah, it could be, but it doesn't have to be. One of the ways this takes place is through pride, when you begin to think more highly of yourself than you ought. And when you begin to exalt yourself in your own mind, and you begin to demonstrate various aspects of that self-exaltation, a Jezebel spirit will take note and play on that. Well, that's kind of what happened with this man. And he began, in fact, you know, we'll see maybe a little bit of a variation on this theme here tonight, but he began drawing people unto him. And the people he was drawing unto him, they didn't really catch on at first, even though there were some warnings. Well, long story short, this spirit worked so powerfully through this man, he rejected the warnings of the leadership in the church, and he kept doing what he was doing, and it had such an impact that one couple in the church actually got divorced. And it wasn't that this man was messing around with the other guy's wife. It was just the way that this spirit was operating, and it created more and more conflict. So that's an example of how it can operate through a man as well. So it doesn't have to be a woman, and it doesn't have to be the pastor's wife. And keep in mind that a Jezebel spirit, and this series is relative to the body of Christ, targets churches, man. I mean, if you have a lone ranger out there who has absolutely no church affiliation whatsoever, you know, this person's already isolated. And that is something that the Spirit of the Lord will not do. Now, he might call you to times of seclusion for seeking the Lord, but as far as isolation, no way. That never happens by the Spirit of God. He never isolates anybody. Well, people isolate themselves, and when they do, Jezebel's spirit really doesn't have to do too much, because this person is already exposed to the attacks of the enemy. So Jezebel's spirit works very hard within churches. And it doesn't care what kind of church. It doesn't care if you believe in the gifts of the Spirit or you don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. It doesn't care. If you name the name of Jesus and preach you must be born again, that thing is going to attack the church. And I'm telling you right now, it will attack every church on planet Earth that preaches you must be born again. Doesn't mean it will be successful, but it will attack. That's its assignment. And when I say it, I'm speaking in the singular, but you need to understand there is a whole host of demons that you could say are Jezebel spirits. Now, in 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're not going to do a whole lot of review on what we've covered so far, but basically what happened was Ahab, he was messed up, man. This guy, he just did so many things that were wrong before the Lord. And in chapter 16, it talks about how that if that wasn't bad enough, he went and married this pagan woman named Jezebel. And as soon as he married her, she began working on him and motivating him to build altars to Baal and a church to Baal and so forth. Well, this guy Elijah comes along and he prophesies and he says, look, you know, there's going to be a drought. The drought was a drought and a famine. That was like God firing a warning shot over the bow. And, you know, for the years that this famine took place, to the people it was a long time. To God it was barely a, you know, blink of an eye, time-wise. You understand what I mean? And it was like God was firing a shot over the bow, and he was saying, you better listen. You didn't have famine and you didn't have drought until you did this with that woman. In fact, I was tolerating a whole bunch of stuff from you, Ahab, until you went and married this pagan woman who's not a Jew, and you set up these altars to Baal. So now, boom. Here, you have a drought. You have famine for a while. Maybe you'll catch on. Well, then, the Lord sends Elijah in chapter 18, verse 1. He says, go tell Ahab that I'm going to send rain upon the earth. So what's happened is, Elijah represented God and went to Ahab, and he said, all right, man, this is it. There's going to be a drought, and there's going to be famine. And then off Elijah goes. Well, some time passes. Elijah shows up again. And he says, all right, Ahab, now the Lord says it's going to rain. So God's trying to send these messages to Ahab. Now, to kind of let you in on what's going on here, you'll notice that God sent Ahab, or sent Elijah to Ahab not to Jezebel. Now, why is that? Well, real briefly, it's because Ahab was the Jew and Ahab was under the law and Ahab was the king. And what God was trying to do was get a message to Ahab, dump this lady. Get rid of her. Just, you know, this is where your problems were multiplied many times over. So Elijah, he's on the way to get in touch with Ahab to talk to him about this. And you'll notice in verse 4, it says, For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. So what we see is that Jezebel gave the order for the prophets of the Lord to be executed. Nowhere in Scripture do you see where the queen is supposed to have that kind of authority. In fact, we went back and we studied the story, briefly, we studied the story of Esther. How Esther was the king, the queen. And in Scripture, it says right there, you know, you just don't go into the court of the king and appear before his throne unless he invites you in. Because if you do, and he doesn't like it, you die. And we won't rehash that whole story. Well, she needed to go before the king on behalf of the Jews because she was a Jew. And she told some of the folks, she said, now listen, you pray for me and you fast for me because I'm going to do this. And even though this is, you know, against the rules, I'm going to do it anyhow. And if I die, I die. Well, Jezebel didn't seem to have that kind of fear. She just gives the order, you know, go kill the prophets of the Lord. In other words, silence the voices of truth. Shut them up. Because they're causing problems here. They are not in agreement with me, and so therefore I don't want them around. Well, if you pick this up, Elijah had told Obadiah, go tell Ahab to meet me. And so Obadiah, pick it up in verse 16, went to meet Ahab and told him, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. Now look here. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? I don't think so. I didn't marry a pagan woman. I didn't build an altar to Baal. I'm not letting people worship Baal. And I'm not worshiping Baal, because that's something that Ahab got involved with. And yet Ahab, because of the Jezebel influence, Ahab accused Elijah of being the one who troubled Israel. Now let me ask you a question. Do you honestly believe that Ahab kept this belief to himself? Obadiah, what is it you want? Well, Elijah wants to meet you. You mean the guy that's caused this drought? Now you know what? Now let's think. Ahab recognized that Elijah had come to him and spoken drought and famine. Then, when Elijah shows up again, he says, oh, are you the one that's troubling Israel? What should have been the question? What was the correct question to ask? Elijah, where do you get your power? How in the world do you have so much power and authority that you can speak famine and drought and it happens? Explain this to me, Elijah. That was the right question to ask. But he was so influenced by this Jezebel spirit that he didn't ask that. What he asked, or what he declared was, oh, there you are, the source of our problems. And no, he wasn't the source of the problems. We know that. And technically, somebody might say, well, Jezebel was the source of the problem. No, technically, that's not true. Ahab was the source of the problem. Because Ahab is the one who opened the door for Jezebel to walk in. Now, Elijah answers in verse 18, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. And I'm looking at this, and I realize sometimes I read a verse, and it's, I know there's something in it, and I have to keep looking at it and looking at it and looking at it and say, okay, God, what are you trying to show me here? Because we're not going beyond verse 19. First off, when a Jezebel spirit begins influencing people, their perception and their judgment is going to be greatly clouded. Ahab knew that Elijah had come along and spoken this thing and it happened. And like I said a moment ago, the correct question was supposed to be, how did you get this power? Why did God give this power to you? How were you able to speak it and it take place? Tell me what's going on. But his judgment and his perception were totally clouded by the Jezebel influence. And so he turned this whole thing around, and instead of it being his fault, which it was Elijah's fault. Now, this is what the Lord is saying here in this passage. When you're dealing with a Jezebel spirit, and things aren't right, whatever that might be, it is never going to be that person's fault. Whether it's a man or a woman who's being influenced by the Jezebel spirit, it is never going to be their fault, ever. They are always going to believe they're right. And they will always blame the ones who are right for being wrong. Even if they give a feigned apology. Now listen closely to this. If a person has not repented and made things right, I'm talking about the person who's under the influence of the Jezebel spirit. If they do not make it right between them and God, you better watch out, because any apology is nothing more than another attempt to gain control over your life. Because our perspective is this. If you have come and you have apologized to me, that means everything is okay. That means now I'm going to begin to open more of my life unto you because you've come and apologized. But if their heart is not right, trust me, that apology is nothing more than to gain you on their side. A Jezebel spirit is extremely manipulative in a subtle way. And there are far too many Christians who don't understand that. And that's why so many Christians get pulled into this stuff and you end up with the church splits. If it was just the one person leaving a church is not a church split. You understand me? But a multitude of people leaving with that one person, okay, now something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong. Now, if we continue looking at this, in verse 19, there are some things that really jump out at me. In fact, I'm asking the Lord, what am I seeing here? He begins to show me, and I'm going to give you seven things that the Lord pointed out to me in verse 19. Seven things. Number one, it says, well, let's read it again. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Notice that he's speaking to Ahab and telling him, you have these guys show up to meet me. But where are these guys? They're with Jezebel. See it? A Jezebel spirit will always rebel against God's established authority in the church. Always. There should never have been a question as to who these guys were following. Ahab's the king. Jezebel's the queen. They're not supposed to be following her. A Jezebel spirit. Now remember, in all of this teaching, this is not going to be, it's rarely ever a wide open public in front of everybody defiance. Again, it's always subtle. Very subtle. So therefore, this Jezebel spirit rebelling against God's authority is very clearly seen right here in this verse, because look where these guys are eating. At Jezebel's table. Now you can do a study of the Old Testament yourself. This is the, now this, for me, speaking for myself And I may have missed something in Scripture now. I admit it. I may have missed something. But so far, as of this message tonight, this is the only time anywhere in the Old Testament where I can find that people were seated at the queen's table. It's usually always at the king's table. What does this represent? She's established herself as the authority over Ahab. And a Jezebel spirit is always going to rebel against the established authority. In some way, somehow, always. And many times the Jezebel spirit will not confront the authority directly in the church with, you know, the pastor. Many times that will not happen. What will happen, though, is that this rebellion will be subtle into the ears of those around the pastor. Just like what happened here. She spoke into the ears of the prophets of Baal. She convinced them, somehow, some way, they needed to pay attention to her as opposed to the man who was the king. And that is exactly what a Jezebel spirit is going to do. It's going to work against the authority that God has established within the local church to try and chip away the influence that the pastor has within the lives of the people. Now, granted, some people are pastoring churches they probably shouldn't pastor. They shouldn't be pastoring, rather. They're not really called. But the thing is, if they're in the position of authority, the position needs to be respected, even if the person... If you've got a person who's really supposed to be an evangelist, but they're pastoring, yeah, they've missed God, but you still have to respect that position. Remember the story of David and Solomon, or not Solomon, Saul. He said, I won't touch God's anointed. Even though Saul was so messed up and trying to kill David, David said, I'm not doing it. He's still the king. I will respect that authority. And a Jezebel spirit will not. A Jezebel spirit will do exactly what a David would not do, and that is touch God's anointed and not care about it. And not only that, but will deny it in the process. What, you think a Jezebel spirit is going to tip its hand? Come on. Operating through a man or a woman. There's no way. Jezebel's, you go to that person and you say, are you trying to usurp the authority of the pastor? Oh, no. Now, the pastor's the pastor. All right? I respect him. I honor him. I love him. I pray for him. They'll tell you all these things. They're not going to say, well, yeah, by the way, I am. Now that you mentioned it, I'm trying to tear down this church and split it wide open and take over the position of the pastor and everything else. They're not going to say that. They're going to deny all of it and agree with every positive thing you're going to say. Why? By denying and agreeing, as I've just described, it gains your confidence. And remember, that's what they're after. Number two. And again, now, there's symbolism in this and so forth the Lord showed me. They're sitting at whose table? Jezebel's table. The Lord said, and herein is the problem. A Jezebel spirit works to set its own table to draw people away from the table of the Lord. What does that mean? What that means is this. Inevitably, a Jezebel spirit will begin to take issue with things that are taught. That truth, there's only one thing that can be served from the table of the Lord, and that's truth. A Jezebel spirit will begin to take issue with certain things that are served from the table of the Lord. Many times, this will be disagreement with the way God has established leadership in the church. An example of that is back in Numbers chapter 16, when Korah went to Moses and said, basically, hey, we're part of the tribe of Levi, you know, or we're priests, or, you know, we're anointed, and we're Jews, and all that. Who do you think you are? And a whole bunch of people died as a result of that. Jezebels will never think of themselves as Korahs. Never. But that is exactly what they're doing. If you want to see The severe example of a Jezebel spirit, just study Numbers 16. Just start reading Numbers chapter 16, verse 1. Just keep reading and you'll see the end result. A Jezebel spirit is always going to serve from its own table. And everything that a Jezebel spirit does, and this is very critical to remember, is always going to be cloaked with the clothing of Christianity, with Scripture, with the name of Jesus, with my revelation from the Lord. I heard the Lord. The Lord gave me a dream. It's always going to be cloaked in that which sounds right. If it's not, you won't listen. But in the process, the Jezebel spirit is setting its own table so that the folks it's influencing will come and dine from this junk over here to pull people away from the table of the Lord. The third thing, look here. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel and unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of the groves, 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. Now, you'll notice it talks about prophets. We're not going to focus so much on, prophets of Baal. We just want to focus on prophets. What are prophets? Prophets are religious leaders. A Jezebel spirit is always, always going to try and manipulate religious leaders. Now, you can say that's the pastoral staff, the Sunday school staff, whatever. And the reason for that is because a Jezebel spirit wants control over something. Wants to run people's lives in some way, shape, or form. And the only way that you can do that is to be in a position of authority or leadership over a person's life. Therefore, a Jezebel spirit in some way, shape, or form is always going to try to manipulate leadership. Now, if you want to see a person who's being influenced by a Jezebel spirit, you want to see what they're really all about? Just observe what happens in a church with strong leadership when a Jezebel spirit tries to rise up. What's going to happen is the Jezebel spirit is going to be shut down, have very, very little influence, maybe a little bit, but very little influence, and it's going to realize that it's not getting anywhere and become very angry. And there will be outbursts of anger and temper. Because I'm not getting my way. Well, strong leadership, if ever directly confronted with that, and it manifests itself in that way, will just say, hey, number one, in Jesus' name, come out. But that may not happen because you're entertaining this thing and you like the way it makes you feel. So number two, there's the door. Don't let it hit you on the way out. And don't you ever come back on this property until you have repented and made things right between you and God. Because you are not going to harm the baby Christians in this place.
Now you just don't let me manifest it. And then you're saying, boy, you just wait.
Yeah, I'll wait. That's how they do, man. And if they don't do it directly to the pastor, the venting will be directed at other people. I'm telling you, this is how it works. And so this Jezebel spirit, again, number three, will try its best to manipulate religious leaders. Number four, a Jezebel spirit will try to manipulate the religious system. Now, again, when I'm talking about religious leaders and religious system, I am talking about the body of Christ, that which is right, okay? But you'll notice here, she had religious leaders at her table. Now, do you really think they're sitting around and talking about the way that God led Israel out of Egypt? You really think they're talking about, well, he parted the Red Sea, and there they go walking across, and ooh, hallelujah. No way. A Jezebel spirit is going to try to manipulate the religious order or the religious structure of truth for its own benefit. It doesn't deny Jesus. See, this thing is smart enough to know it can't take over and split and divide and conquer a church by denying Jesus. It knows better than that. So it's got to appear righteous. It's got to appear all of these things. But it tries to manipulate the system of truth God has established in His Word. Simple illustration. Or I'll just make this up. Well, you know, the pastor was preaching about, you know, some of blah, blah. Boy, I tell you what, that's great. Well, yeah, it was great. That was an excellent, excellent sermon. But, you know, in that one verse when the pastor was talking about some of, well, I've always understood that to mean blah, blah, and here's why. Explain. Now, if the person that's hearing this is not spiritually sharp, they're going to walk away scratching their head wondering, gee whiz, that sounds pretty good to me. But what's happening is the manipulation of the truth, the religious system. Now, I want you to notice something in this passage here in 1 Kings 18. Notice in verse 4, she cuts off the prophets of the Lord. But in verse 19, her prophets are dining at her table. In other words, a Jezebel spirit, this person who's operating, and you need to understand that until they go too far, like a Korah, that's a type and a shadow, until they go too far, like a Korah, you know, they're still born again, okay? They're just influenced and deceived. But they're still born again, even spirit-filled. But this person has no real heart concern over the things of God. Now, they'll tell you that they do. And they'll tell you that they're praying. And here's the thing. A person operating by the influence of a Jezebel spirit may indeed be praying. And may indeed be reading their Bible. And attending church. They may be doing all of these things. Well, big whoopee. There's a lot of people out there that do that. Do you understand there are people out there that read their Bible and pray and they're not even born again? You do understand that, don't you? I think sometimes the longer we serve the Lord, we tend to forget about what it was like when we were lost. And there are a lot of lost people who will read their Bible and they'll pray, but they're not born again. Well, likewise, a person operating by the influence of a Jezebel spirit, I don't care how much they pray, how much they read their Bible. The bottom line is, everything is going to be filtered through the glasses of a Jezebel spirit. This is one of the reasons why it's so hard to get them to see this. Now, that doesn't mean none of them will ever repent, but what it means is, I mean, this is a battle, guys. It's a major battle when somebody has allowed themselves to be pulled into this thing by this spirit. And, man, it may take the actual devil years to try to finally get this person, you know, to cross over to the dark side. Okay? Now, again, if you do not agree with the Jezebel spirit, you're going to be wrong. That's why the verse 4 prophets were killed and the verse 19 prophets got to sit at the table. It's because the verse 19 prophets were in agreement with Jezebel and the verse 4 prophets were standing up against her. I'll guarantee you, these verse 4 prophets, see, we only read about Elijah in here. You think she'd have killed those verse 4 prophets if they weren't saying anything about what she was doing and about what Ahab was doing? Guarantee you, they wouldn't even have been on the map. She wouldn't have known they existed. But they were in disagreement because they knew that she was wrong. And she says, we'll put an end to that right here and right now. If you're in disagreement with a Jezebel spirit and you're standing up for truth, trust me, that thing's going to turn against you. And I don't care who you are. Number 5. You'll notice that Jezebel has them sitting at her table. The Lord said, what this represents is that this person being influenced by a Jezebel spirit wants to have a say-so in leadership. In some way, shape, or form. They're not sitting at the king's table. They're sitting at her table. Therefore, as they're sitting at her table, you know what she's talking about, don't you? We got to make sure no more of those prophets that are messing up the land can survive. We killed a bunch of them. I've heard there's rumors that some of them may be hiding in a cave somewhere. We've got to find them. Now, that's not really what happened, but I'm just using this to illustrate. And this Jezebel spirit wants people to take orders. Now, relative to the local church, a Jezebel spirit is going to want to be in a position of leadership, may even want a title. And if the person who's under the influence of a Jezebel spirit does not get the appointment to a position of leadership that he or she believes he or she should have, trust me, until they finally repent, they are never going to forget it the rest of their lives, and they will always, always let that be a bone of contention in some way, shape, or form. And the person who is in the position of leadership will never be fully qualified. I don't care who they are. I don't care if they're caught up to the third heaven like Paul and delivering truth like the Apostle Paul, explaining Scripture, raising the dead. I mean, just, you know, walking with the halo of God's glory all over them. It won't matter. They will always be the wrong person for that position. Always. And the Jezebel person will always see themselves as being more qualified. Here's the problem. Some people may come into agreement. They may start to believe if this Jezebel spirit captures their ear, they may start to believe, well, this person probably should have been because, you know, they did this or they've had that experience or they've served the Lord longer or they've done or they've, you know, man or woman, doesn't matter. And they're always going to want that position. Some are going to want titles. It's like I've shared before, titles are more easily given than they are taken away. That's one of the reasons I'm not quick to bestow titles here in this ministry. It's because for many people, they're fine till you give them a title. The moment you give them a title, I mean, they're like Barney Fife, man. They got a bullet in their pocket, you know, and you know what I'm talking about. They're the man or the woman, one of the two. But a Jezebel spirit always wants to have a say in leadership. And this is where many pastors mess up, is they buckle under the pressure. See, sometimes people operating by Jezebel spirits are big givers in the church. Big givers. Well, Pastor, in fact, what happens is this. Many of them want to give their way onto the board. This goes on all the time. All the time. I'm waiting for the day when somebody will say, if I give $1 million to this ministry, can I be on your board? Well, yeah. They're all padded, though. We got a bunch of them in the sanctuary. Take your choice. And by the way, make that check out to GCC. Oh, yeah. When people start waving their money and trying to use it as a way to gain position, title, and leadership, you have just found out who's under the influence of a Jezebel spirit. And again, I want to say this at this point. Everything I'm describing, I may say this numerous times in this series, all of what I'm describing about the operations of a Jezebel spirit, it's always in stages. Sometimes it's, you know, very subtle and just the beginning stages. Sometimes, I mean, it's full-blown witchery, all right? But it always manifests in these different ways in some manner or another. Number six. A Jezebel spirit always wants exaltation. Always wants exaltation. It's not just the position. It's also the recognition. I want people to know that I'm doing this. I want people to know that I have this influence. I want people to know. One of the things that I have tried to stop doing in my own life is name dropping. What I mean by that is, well, how can I say this? I know who I know, but sometimes if I talk about who I know and my relationship with those that I know, it can gain me favor in the lives of other people. That is manipulation. Now, sometimes it's unavoidable to mention, you know, like my relationship with Pastor Dave Roberson or Gary Carpenter or whatever. I mean, sometimes, you know, it just the way the conversation goes, it's inevitable that you talk about it. But even such a subtle thing as that can become a form of manipulation. And I try to watch what I do. And there are times where I'll be talking with God about, you know, things that are coming up and interaction with other people and asking Him to help me to not, you know, am I starting to manipulate? I mean, show me what's happening here because I don't want to manipulate. And the truth of the matter is, it's better to suffer loss than it is to manipulate for gain. Much better to suffer loss. But a Jezebel person always wants exaltation in some way, shape, or form. They want recognition. They want attention. And if they do not get that recognition, if they don't get that attention, no matter how minor of a level that might be, they are going to lash out. They are going to accuse. They are going to speak poorly of other people because, you know, you didn't pay attention to me. Because you didn't give me. And what happens is when you start giving them the attention and you start giving them the attention, that begins to elevate them, first in their own eyes, and then in the eyes of others. Because everybody who gives the Jezebel person the attention they want will become favored by that Jezebel person. And let's face it, guys, we want to be liked by everybody. You know, that's just, God dealt with me here, you know, He has explained it to me. Jim, you just might as well get used to it. Not everybody's going to like you. Don't anybody say amen. At the
God was right, Brother Martin. God was really right.
And don't ask me how I know. No. Not everybody's going to, you know, that's just how it is. But the moment that you start giving the Jezebel spirit what the Jezebel spirit wants, then you become favored by that Jezebel person. And as that Jezebel person is favoring you, there can be a tendency for you to want to be drawn to that. Because let's face it, we're drawn to people that like us. Now, how can it work? How can this manifest? You don't care about me. You don't love me. Oh, but that's not true. I do care about you. I do love you. Oh, they think I don't love them. They think I don't care. They think I'm not interested. Well, by golly, I'll show them I'm interested. Knock, knock, knock. Call, call, call. Letter, letter, letter. Gift, gift, gift. I will prove. And you know what's happening? The person may not realize it, but that spirit sitting back saying, yeah, come on, bring it on. A little more. One more phone call. One more. Yeah, we're going to be real good friends with you. And if you don't watch out, in the days, weeks, and months to come, you're going to be pulled in. This is why you have to be on your guard. And again, the further we get into this series, I'll explain to you how to be on your guard, the role the Holy Spirit plays in this. Number 7. You'll notice they were sitting at Jezebel's table. A Jezebel spirit always wants to draw people away from truth and anointing. Always. A Jezebel spirit will talk, a Jezebel influenced person, okay, will always talk about, well, no, not always. It's relative to the church. But in a church where there is some sort of comprehension, recognition, acknowledgement of, you know, the anointing, a Jezebel person is always going to, when the time is right, make reference to the anointing. I felt God's anointing. God, and now here's what's going on. You do understand that there is, you remember the movie Star Wars. I kind of quoted from it here a moment ago. Remember there was a dark side and then there was, you know, the good side. Both sides were able to demonstrate power. Remember that? Well, we first saw that in Pharaoh's court with Moses and the magicians. I mean, it was almost, I doubt that George Lucas wrote Star Wars based on the Bible, okay? But the parallel is right there. Moses shows up with, you know, Aaron's rod of a lightsaber. And he takes the thing and, you know, they throw it down. Okay, I saw the movie one day when I was walking by Radio Shack out at the... He threw the rod down. The rod turns into a serpent. Well, you know, here comes Darth Vader and the Emperor and the rest of them. And they bring, you know, their staffs and throw them down and they become serpents. But the good serpent ate up the bad. You know what I'm saying? Now here's the point I'm making. yes, there can be a false dark side anointing. And a lot of Christians, let me put it like this. When Satan was defeated, when Jesus beat him, the Bible says, made a show of him openly and so on and so forth. The devil's defeated and, you know, we're the conquerors. All that's true. Absolutely true. But the one thing that Jesus did not do was take away any power that Satan has. Now, please let that sink in. He defeated him with greater power. And doesn't the Bible say something about us? And I'm paraphrasing because I don't remember the exact verse. But doesn't the Bible say something about how that God has given us power over all the power of the enemy? That means even Jesus himself is recognizing the fact, the enemy's got power. But the power I give you is greater than that power. That's why you're able to cast out devils. You know, you can't ever say that, it's impossible to cast out certain devils. That's not true. Because they don't have enough power when compared to the power of God. Now, a person under the influence of a Jezebel spirit can operate in a false anointing. Here's what I mean. They can have visions, but they can be the wrong kind of visions. They can have dreams, but it'll be the wrong kind of dreams. They can hear voices, but it won't be God's. I was praying the other day, and the Lord spoke to me. Okay, I don't know about you, but, you know, here I am praying, and God and Father, you know, I pray that such and such and so on. Then all of a sudden on the inside I hear, that ain't ever going to happen. What? That's Jesus? I'm praying the will of the Father, and Jesus says that ain't ever going to happen? Come on. So who's talking to me? A lying devil?
Well, the devil ain't, they can't talk to Christians. They can't cross the bloodline. They can't.
Show me in Scripture anything about a bloodline. We've talked about this before. It's not in there. To believe that devils can't talk to you because you're washed in the blood. Because your sins are washed. Because you have the life of God. And not only that, but you're baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Shandai. And to think that because of all of that is true, that devils can't speak to you. May I remind you the story of Jesus when he came up out of the water and the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness. And who showed up? Not just a devil. Satan himself. And lo and behold, what did Satan do? Spoke to Jesus. And not only did he speak to Jesus, but Jesus carried on a conversation with him. If you be the Son of God, command these stones to be bread. I hear your stomach growling after 40 days of fasting. And Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Satan comes, if you be the Son of God, jump off this, bow down and worship me. Finally, Jesus, he had enough and he said, get thee behind me, Satan. He carried on a conversation with the devil. And we think that demons can't talk to us? Well, yes, but Jesus defeated them. That's right, he did. And the victory's been passed on to us. They're lying devils. Why do you think there are warnings about these things in Scripture? Why do you think God gave Paul the revelation of spiritual warfare, powers, principalities, and all? Why do you think references to that demonic influence in the body of Christ are in Scripture? It's because God's trying to warn us. In fact, he even says, look, you're not ignorant of Satan's devices. Well, why aren't we ignorant? Because I'm revealing them to you in my Word. I'm trying to help you see this. Don't ignore the warnings. And so, a Jezebel spirit can operate by a type of false anointing and will try to draw people away from truth and the real anointing. Well, yes, I know the pastor prayed for somebody and they got healed, and I know so much. But you know, God uses me too. Really? How does he use you? Well, I've prayed for people and they've gotten healed, and which may be true. May absolutely be true. Remember, the goal of the Jezebel-influenced person is to draw people away from truth. These prophets, you know what? Somebody might say, well, they weren't really prophets. Okay. What was that one fella where his donkey started talking to him? Balaam, remember that? Was that guy a prophet? Worked on both sides, but abused his gift. Sure enough, man, he heard God. He knew what to say. So these guys, could they have been prophets? Yes, but they were prophets of Baal. And you think, okay, you need to get my teaching series. Let's see here, what teaching series is that? Something about Satan's War Manual. Anybody remember the title of it? Exposing Satan's War Manual. Yeah, you taught it right. Exposing Satan's War Manual. Because what I do in that series is explain to you how that Satan has counterfeited the ministry callings that God has established in the church. There is a counterfeit prophet. Okay? Now, in this, what this Jezebel spirit is doing through these people, the ultimate goal is to get them to turn their backs on Jesus. Now that again, you know, we're not talking about that final stage area tonight. We're talking about a process to lead to that. And it can take a person months and years. Okay, I'll give you an example, but this isn't the best example. But many of you have heard about what happened with Carlton Pearson and how that, I mean, he used to be on TBN and preaching and all this other stuff. Well, then it came out that he's preaching this all-inclusive doctrine that everybody's born again, whether they know it or not. And so, I mean, just, you know, well, he lost his church and just crazy things. And he was confronted by people, you know, Oral Roberts and others went to him and tried to counsel with him. He rejected it. But it took years, years. And he even talked about this, how he'd been thinking about these things for a long time. It took years to get him from where he was in Christ to where he is now. Now, God still loves him. But I'm using that as an example that all of these things we're talking about, it doesn't happen overnight. If a Jezebel spirit thinks somebody is susceptible, it's patient. It will work on you and work on you and work on you. Because once it's got you, and I don't mean, you know, it owns your spirit. That's not going to happen. But once it's got your, you've yielded to its influence, that thing's going to try to work through you to bring about disaster in the church. Now, as we continue on in this, you're going to see some more things about Jezebel and about what this spirit will do. But we're also going to be taking a look in Scripture about what we can do to guard ourselves against it. One of the best things, well, no, let me restate this. We absolutely must guard ourselves spiritually against this, because this is where the warnings are going to come. God is going to warn you spiritually about this Jezebel spirit. Now, let me just say this. If you believe, whoever you are, wherever you are, you know, I know we've got folks watching, folks listening after the fact and so forth. By the time this series is over, if you have identified that your pastor is a Jezebel person, you better drop on your knees and, number one, pray for the pastor, because the pastor needs to be set free from this, needs deliverance. But then, number two, pray and find out how soon God wants you to leave. Because a Jezebel-influenced pastor becomes like a Pied Piper leading people to destruction. It's one way cults can get started. But this spiritual, our spiritual edification is absolutely critical, because it is in our spirit where the warnings will first come. Now, let me just throw this out as a kind of a disclaimer. Listen, guys, everybody has their moments, okay? Everybody encounters things that they don't like. Everybody has moments to where they say things they shouldn't, many times out of emotion and out of anger and so forth. Many times we do try to impose our will on others. There are times where you're going to encounter some people who just naturally, they do have a stronger personality than others. And that's okay, because we're all different. But I kind of hinted at this and shared a little bit about it previously, but the point I'm making here at the conclusion is this. Again, don't go on a witch hunt. Every time somebody acts up, don't start, Jezebel spirit, Jezebel. Don't do that. Come on, don't. Because, again, we all have our moments, and we know that. Jezebel-inspired people many times do not regret their moments and feel justified in them. If you're on the right path, you're going to feel bad about your moments. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I blew it. So anyway, that's all the Lord wanted me to cover tonight. It was up there through that 19th verse. So everybody, go ahead and stand.